Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and joining me now is Brian Stelter, New York Times media reporter, and now the author of Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV, about the battle mostly between ABC's Good Morning America and NBC's The Today Show, and what it means for media and our culture more generally. Maybe you saw his New York Times Magazine story over the weekend. Hi, Brian. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So you're 27 years old. You're a successful, plugged-in reporter. Why did you turn your attention, and for an entire book, to the old medium of morning television, of all things?
In part because no one had ever really given it the attention it deserves. The mornings are one of the few times a day it's really growing in terms of media consumption, media usage. And even as we see primetime television take some hits, we see late-night ratings declining, people still want to wake up and turn on something, whether it's their phone, their radio, their television, and really probably all the above.
So we created a hashtag, as many of you know, on Twitter, Morning Media Diet, to hear what people turn to for news in the mornings. Among our listeners, you tweeted that you watch, Brian, the Today Show and GMA on two small TV sets. On the third set, you flip between CBS, Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC.
Probably not entirely healthy.
And New York One, meaning you're a Time Warner cable subscriber in New York City.
That's right, a long-suffering Time Warner cable subscriber.
And other listeners tweeted that they listen to NPR or the BBC. No surprise there that our listeners listen to us. That's not what you call science. Or check Twitter or the Times first thing. And we've compiled some of these tweets on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or just go search that hashtag on Twitter, Morning Media Diet, and they're still coming in as we talk about this. Plus, our phone lines are open if you want to call in with your morning media diet, too, particularly if it includes any morning television, actual television, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And to get a sense of the range of these two shows that you primarily focus on, the ABC and NBC shows, with High and Lowbrow from The Today Show first, followed by Good Morning America, about a minute total.
Are you 100% confident there is no future or further threat to Boston in terms of accomplices or unexploded devices?
This is very early in the investigation. We're satisfied that the two main actors, the people that were committing the damage out there, have been either captured or killed.
Reese Witherspoon is an actress who has been known as something of an America's sweetheart. So I think that something like this does tarnish her reputation.
And Dan, how much longer can this questioning go on without reading the suspect his Miranda rights? Apparently it hasn't happened yet.
They're calling it the public safety exception. Unclear exactly how long they're allowed to do it. In past cases, for example, in the case of the underwear bomber, they questioned him for about 50 minutes, and a court determined that that was okay without a Miranda warning.
Sure, you're a busy man and a busy dad.
We got some really nice customized things going on in my life, from career to family. It's a really nice time. I'm enjoying it.
It sure seems like it is. Yeah.
So we heard Matt Lauer talking to the Boston Police Commissioner, then a piece on actress Reese Witherspoon's arrest, The Today Show, and then George Stephanopoulos conducting an interview on Miranda rights, and then the actor, Matthew McConaughey, on Good Morning America. So what's the big difference between them? Is there a big difference between them in the big scheme of things?
The two shows think there are big differences between them. The Today Show thinks it's much more serious than GMA. GMA thinks it's much more livelier, much more entertaining than The Today Show. The truth is that they both cover the same types of stories. They sometimes do it in different ways. And the best anchors of these shows have to be able to go from the highs to the lows, sometimes within the same block of programming. That's how you can tell when an anchor is really strong or really weak, when they can make those turns from something like a murder trial to something like a cooking segment.
And I admit, by the way, my complete ignorance of these shows, as you'll see from my own tweets.
Well, you're not the target audience. You know, the target audience is women ages 25 to 54. So neither of us are really in the demo, and that can be our excuse.
And these shows drive a lot of advertising dollars to their networks?
They do. $1 billion is divvied up between GMA, the Today Show, and the CBS show, which is called CBS This Morning. $1 billion. And for every 100,000 of those women who turn it on or turn it off, that's $10 million at stake, which is why these things are taken so seriously, even though on the air, they sometimes seem absurd.
But if they're the target audience, men are also waking up in the morning and getting ready for their days. What media are they consuming more?
Right, and about 40% of these shows are comprised of men. About 60% of the audience is female. Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually, GMA skews a little more female-friendly. Today's a little more male-friendly. But overall, I think you have a lot of men wake up in the morning who turn on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Fox and Friends on Fox News, ESPN or ESPN2. You know, there's so many of these shows now. Even the Golf Channel has a four-hour morning show. Even the NFL Network has a four-hour morning show.
It's
as if they're divvying them up into smaller and smaller slices, which is emblematic of what's happening to media overall.
And for a very long time already.
Right.
Jim in Manhattan wants to mention a network that hasn't come up yet. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I think CBS has done a wonderful job with their new show with Rose and the other young lady. First of all, their segments are longer. Mm-hmm. They don't put all that trivia stuff in and all the cooking things and stuff like that I think is annoying. But this, to me, is the much better of the three. And I used to watch the Today Show for years and years and years.
Thank you, Jim.
This is something that's happening underneath the surface of morning TV right now. Every day I hear about viewers who are turning over to CBS. And it's starting to show up in the ratings. It's very early on. CBS is about 2 million viewers behind NBC and ABC. So they've been in third place for pretty much as long as I've been alive. But they are slowly improving. And I think if they stick with this more serious format with Charlie Rose, Norah O'Donnell, and Gayle King, over time, if they are patient, it could really make inroads.
And you describe in the book misgivings on both the Today Show and Good Morning America from anchors and producers about the fluffy content.
Right.
But
right.
As the competition has ramped up, it seemed to drive both shows toward lighter and lighter material on the hunt for ratings.
Yeah, that's certainly how the anchors feel. Ann Curry, before she was ousted at the Today Show last year, argued all the time in favor of more serious content, wanting to go out on more reporting trips and things like that. Yet they know that the shows, the segments that rate the highest are the fluffier segments. They're the viral videos and the court cases that aren't really of national interest. So that's the tension that exists in these shows. And frankly, I think that's why it's good we have more options now, like the CBS show, which really prides itself on serious interviews.
And the Today Show had a reputation as being a bit more journalistically oriented than GMA.
Right.
You describe one major mistake that Today made when covering the Trayvon Martin shooting when the George Zimmerman 911 call was edited. What happened, and do you think it says something deeper about competition and journalistic ethics?
There's a lawsuit now over this editing because NBC edited the 911 tape of George Zimmerman's call about Trayvon Martin in a way that made George Zimmerman sound racist because he mentioned Trayvon Martin's skin color as if he was bringing it up on his own when in fact it was the 911 dispatcher that had asked for the skin color of Trayvon Martin. It was a flagrant mistake. It was really an embarrassing mistake. The Today Show never apologized on the air. They never came on and corrected it, which I think was sort of surprising. And it has haunted them since because now George Zimmerman and his attorneys are suing NBC for it. I think what it speaks to is the idea that these shows are put together in the middle of the night by oftentimes young producers who don't have as much experience as we might want them to have. At the time, NBC said they had laid off a quote-unquote seasoned producer. The producer was in her mid-20s. This was not someone who had been doing this all her life. You have to wonder if there had been more supervision, if that wouldn't have slipped through the cracks the way it did.
Thomas in Brooklyn Heights, what's your media diet in the morning?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I watch every day CNBC, and it's a great combination of business news, financial, political stuff. It's humorous. It's combative. And, you know, when we consider how many problems relate to our weak economy and how businesses are paying or not paying taxes, I'm surprised that more people don't watch it. And I just frankly find all of those fluff stories incredibly annoying. So you're not going to get cooking expositions on CNBC. And I think that Kramer's really interesting at 9 o'clock. And what made me really kind of think about this as being an important story is that a few years back, Mark Haynes, who was their anchor from 9 to 11 in the morning, passed away. And it really, when they had this whole tribute to him in the evening, the day that he died, and it was really heartfelt, and I really felt like this guy that I watched on a fairly regular basis was doing a great job to the public and telling stories, and I really felt sad that he died.
Thomas, thank you for your call.
We get to know these anchors so well. Yeah. I remember the morning that Mark Haynes' death was announced.
Uh-huh.
It was a shock to the audience. Even though that audience for CNBC is relatively small, it's such an intimate medium, television, and such a personal time of day, the mornings, that we really get to know these anchors. I think CNBC did something very smart last year. They came out with an app for smartphones, an alarm clock app, and it'll awake you with the voice of the anchors. It'll tell you the news, and maybe it encourages you to watch their morning show. As people move to cell phones, as we wake up with our phones in the morning, we're going to have to see all sorts of media adapt in that way.
And so that's a cable morning show for a certain audience that works for some people, business-oriented on that business channel, but with some politics and other news. Then there's Morning Joe, which may be more influential than its viewer numbers. I don't
know. It really is, yeah.
But, you know, I know we share an audience with Morning Joe, and obviously there's the political edge that's appealing to people who would probably listen to this show afterwards, and it's appealing elsewhere in a big way. How do you assess the Morning Joe phenomenon?
I think it's the only innovation that's happened in morning TV in over a decade. If you think about it, a Today Show in the 90s came out with a street-side studio. It was innovative at the time. They had concerts. They did a lot of innovative things in the 90s. Arguably, they got a little stale in the 2000s. GMA copied the Today Show for a long, long time. But Morning Joe really created something new. They stopped playing TV. That's the way that Joe Scarborough said to me. We don't play TV. They say how they really feel. They don't try to act. They don't try to pretend to be something they're not. And they do let conversations run for a long time. In some ways, it is more like radio than television. They don't feel the need to cut people off after 2 minutes. And it seems viewers really like that.
Dante in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dante.
Hello.
What's your morning media diet?
Pretty much NPR, and I guess I'll read online, you know, I'll bounce around New York Times or, you know, whatever I can find, depending on what the topic is.
And did you want to say something about the morning shows? I think you told Ms. Greener.
Yeah. I mean, the experience I have with watching, I mean, it's either frustration or it feels like I'm being insulted. And I don't know if that's the present. Presentation, it's just a bombardment of facts and snippets. So if it's a subject I don't know about, I mean, this is old news, you're right, the way the TV is a different medium and it's all fragmented and it comes at you fast, faster, it seems, as we go, as time passes. But so if it's a topic I understand or I'm familiar with, then, you know, it doesn't do justice to the topic. Often, you know, the people on there, whether, you know, the talking heads
it's an unsatisfying meal.
Right. That's definitely, or it's about something I don't understand and it's just blah, 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 blah about facts that I, you know, and then I have to fact check and it doesn't feel right. So either way, it's an unsatisfying meal.
Dante, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. Judith in Orange County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I was a, listener to the Today Show for years and years and years, starting with Dave Garraway. I was very disappointed with the current show when Ann Curry was fired so unceremoniously. Mm. Now I switch back and forth between the Kelly Kid and Roseanne, which is just a lot of fluff, and the Today Show, and the Channel One, which is the New York City News.
New York,
and
New York
one. And the rest of the day, I'm a loyal NPR listener and supporter.
Judith, thank you so much. How about local cable news? I guess they have these local cable channels all over the place. New York One for Time Warner subscribers in New York, extremely popular. Pat Kiernan, the morning anchor. Honestly, that's what my family's watching in the morning, if they're watching anything in the morning. And I know a lot of people who identify with New York One. But is this going on all over the country? Local cable channels everywhere, and these things are becoming part of the, you know, the local fabric?
They are. There are increasingly local morning shows are cutting into the viewership, and we see this in New York. Unfortunately, New York One is not rated the same way that the Today Show and GMA are, because
it's only on cable.
But here in New York, the Fox 5 show, Good Day New York, a local morning show, actually beats the Today Show now in New York City, and that hadn't happened in years. It shows that these local shows, in some ways, are much more relatable. And I'm completely biased. I'm in a relationship with the traffic reporter on New York One, Jamie Shupak, and I've learned through her, for the past couple of years, that people feel they know her so well just by watching in the morning.
Yeah.
Her banter with Pat Kiernan,
right.
That sort of thing, people expect it every day. Morning TV, morning media at all, it's all about consistency.
But it's more newsy kind of presentation than you're going to get, more consistently newsy, though it's conversational and warm, than you're going to get on more newsy than you're going to get on the major networks. And I guess if cable channels are doing this, cable systems are doing this around the country, are they doing it to ingratiate themselves with the local regulators so they keep their cable monopolies, Time Warner and these other companies, or why do they go to the expense?
It certainly helps to be able to have a platform for politicians and for all sorts of local officials in that way. It's an added value. In many ways, the reasons why cable operators operate these channels, it's because it's a reason not to cancel your subscription. And that's why we've seen talk lately about New York One maybe changing its name to Time Warner Cable News or TWC News or something. There was a lot of pushback about that branding idea, but it's because they want to remind people you can't get it anywhere else. That exclusivity is something that's really valued.
Because a lot of people just think New York One is a channel in the world, and
right.
they don't realize
if they switch
away from Time Warner to Fios or whatever, they're still going to get New York One, and it's not the case.
That's right. In this new media world, having those personalities, someone like Pat Kiernan, who you think you know, even if you don't, someone who's predictable every morning, is very valuable.
Just real quick before we run out of time, in the book, and we had the caller mention that she didn't like the way the ouster of Ann Curry took place. And you have these details of a very male-driven morning TV culture at the Today Show, a 13-to-3 male-to-female ratio in the control room, and producers mocking Ann Curry's outfits, comparing her in a yellow dress to Big Bird and things like that. And you note, while morning TV is mostly watched by women, it is mostly run by men. So is there any effort that you know of to change the Boys Club atmosphere after this debacle?
About 3 weeks after Ann Curry was ousted, and maybe this is entirely a coincidence, there was a woman put in charge of NBC News for the first time ever. She was put in charge of NBC News, MSNBC, and CNBC on top of all of it. And since then, she has been trying to improve the show, to revive the Today Show in ways that I think are already visible on television. Today is still stuck in second place, but it's showing signs of a comeback. And frankly, I think its viewers, even the ones who resent the show for removing Ann Curry, are excited about that possible comeback. They want the Today Show to be great.
And last thing before you go, because I have to ask, with the insider access that you have in the TV news biz, any lessons learned or to be learned from the coverage of the Boston Marathon case?
I almost wish there was a giant yellow sort of flashing a banner on the screen that says, we don't know if these facts are true, because there was so much confusion and misinformation in the early hours of the coverage, both on Monday and Friday. It's as if we need better labeling systems, the same way we have for food in the supermarket, to tell people that what they're consuming may or may not be healthy for them.
All right, folks, you can keep posting your morning media diets to Twitter. Use the hashtag morning media diet. And you can also include at Brian Lehrer, if you want, or for that matter, at Brian Stelter, who wrote the book that we've been discussing called Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. He's the New York Times media reporter. Brian, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Christian conservatives and international adoption. Journalist Catherine Joyce has a book called The Child Catchers: Rescue, Trafficking, and the New Gospel of Adoption. And then we're going to have the great New York Nick, Earl the Pearl Monroe, who has a memoir, and we'll talk about basketball yesterday and today after that. So stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.